Author's note. This is a satire. It's supposed to be funny, at least I hope you think it's funny. I'm doing it to entertain you. That's my only end. It's based on my life, because how can you write outside of your own life and experience? But I've never had any experience with gnomes or vampires or any of those things. But I have been a teacher for over 30 years. I love the place where I work. And this really isn't related to that at all. It's much more about the larger picture, about the things that are wrong in my mind with education in general. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. That's not my intent. I'm not trying to offend anybody. That's not my intent. I'm just a writer trying to express herself. I'm just a teacher trying to have a voice. That's all. So enjoy it. Have fun. And if it pricks your conscience somewhat, ask yourself why. Chapter 2. Dr. Douglas Arthur Greeson, EDD, better known as Dr. Dagg, stepped to the microphone and opened his mouth to intone. The feedback from the new expensive sound system reverberated across the lawn of the quad belonging to the College of Applied Multipurposes, United in Simplicity, or campus, as it was known by those that loved it, loathed it, or some combination of the two. Dr. Dagg, a human, I think, surveyed his campus. He was chancellor, so he felt that he could safely say that it was his. A marvelous sight to behold. Marvelous to Dr. Dagg, anyway. Groups of students were gathering in the quad for the newly christened Club Rush Advising Registration Day. Dr. Dagg had been to a state conference just the weekend before, or was it the weekend before that? He couldn't remember. There were so many. Whatever conference it was, he had learned something new that he actually wanted to try in the only session he attended. The conference was in Tampa, you see, in November, and he couldn't resist taking his secretary, his confidant, his helpmate, his right-hand woman, the gorgeous Mrs. Subowski, with her silky brown skin, luscious lips, fiery Latin, he couldn't help but take her to Ybor City for some well-deserved downtime, right? A little jazz, a fruity drink, and a cigar. He had a cigar. She didn't. She had the tomahawk ribeye at $119, adding a lobster tail, $18, roasted Brussels sprouts, $10, and a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon Canvasback by Duckhorn Vineyards, a Washington wine, at $80 a bottle. She almost passed on the dessert, then changed her mind and had the bread pudding with whiskey sauce, insisting that he order the creme brulee at $11 so she could have a bite. Man, that put the college back a pretty penny. But it was worth it. Mrs. Sabowski's robust appetite was indeed something to behold. Now, he never touched Mrs. Sabowski because of Mr. Sabowski, whom Dr. Dagg had met on occasion when the man would stop by to take Mrs. Sabowski to lunch about once a month. He knew the days and times by heart. Mr. Sabowski was a rather large, bald man who, according to Mrs. Sabowski, once played football for Auburn University, corner tackle, but never made it to the NFL due to a slight anger management issue. However, in that one session at the conference, you remember the conference I was talking about, Dr. Dagg had taken a note or two about the three E's. Entertainment and excitement leads to enrollment. That is why, in his wisdom, he forced his faculty who were the advisors, registrars, and club sponsors to do all three activities in one day so as not to inconvenience any students and to make college registration, along with everything else college-related, fun. Students had mentioned in their student surveys how much they hated having to register for classes. They just wanted someone else to do it for them. It wasn't that hard. Why not let the teachers do it? Yeah, Dr. Dagg thought. Why not? So, Dr. Dagg developed this sort of one-stop system. Make signing up for classes fun, entertain, and excite them. Oh, yeah. So they did. Dr. Dagg stood at the mic as the brand new expensive mic screeched once again. Behind him, the second-year sophomore chorus elves in their low, low-cut sequined leotards, feather boas, fishnet stockings, and high heels squealed at the sound and held their delicate pointed ears. The audience, made up of Higher Learning's distinctive student groups, jocks, bandies, geeks, nerds, vampires, werewolves, and zombies, among assorted independent types, began to gather around the stage area, preparing for another year of excitement. Dr. Dagg, dressed in a handsome black suit with red accents, somewhat reminiscent of a military uniform, smoothed back his sleek black hair and smiled that incredible fake smile of his until the audio engineering students, thrown as usual into their first practicum with very little preparation, turned knobs and pushed levers. Finally, by some miracle of technology, or maybe desperation, the screeching stopped. Dr. Dagg, still smiling, nodded at the chorus girls who smiled back and nodded, giggling and blushing, because Dr. Dagg was not a bad-looking man. Actually, he really wasn't that good-looking, but he was better-looking than most of the men the girls were used to being around, and was quite rich and influential, not only in the college community, but in the sideline entertainment business he ran out of his friend Judge Zebulon Pike's sizable basement up on the summit of Mount Zion. The girls smiled and nodded some more. Dr. Dagg smiled and nodded and gestured with his hands. The girls finally realized that he was motioning for them to begin. Darlene, the lead elf, lifted her delicate little hand to cue one of the audio engineering students, who turned on the music. It was too soft and no one could hear it, so Darlene stuck her thumb up into the air and mouthed, "Higher, higher." "What?" said the audio engineering student. "Higher," she whispered. "What?" "Higher, damn it," she said, stamping her pretty foot. He smiled, nodded, turned knobs, and pushed levers. The music boomed out over the commons area. Dr. Dagg covered his ears. The elves squealed, and the student bodies murmured in complaint. "Sorry," said the engineering student. "It's my first time." But Darlene didn't care. She was waiting for her cue. She counted the beats as the harp flowed up and down, up and down, up and down the scales. She closed her eyes and counted. This was her big moment, her chance to shine. She tiptoed forward, turning to glance at Dr. Dagg, who smiled and winked. This little elf was his favorite. She floated out, only tripping slightly two or three, maybe four times, as the harp music swelled and began to play the melody so familiar to her. The girls followed in unison, sort of. They came in formation out in front of the crowd that was mesmerized, or so she thought, and that was all that mattered. They actually were a bit hungover from the big going-back-to-school prison bash from the night before down at Zeb's basement. But Darley, as she was known by some of the cuter guys, thought they were mesmerized, and she was an elf. So there, they looked mesmerized to her. Yes, they were. They were mesmerized. Now it was time to open her mouth to sing and lead her sisters in the song of unity, the song that brought them all together. Welcome to thee, she sang. The music stopped. She glared at the hapless audio engineering student. I'm getting tired of calling him an audio engineering student, so I will give him a name. I'll call him Jim. Jim is dismayed at the look that Darley is giving him. See, Jim had hoped to make some music with Darley, if you know what I mean. Which would have been a thing because Jim was a troll, and trolls didn't often make music with elves. But in this case, he had a good chance because he was a troll who happened to work for Judge Pike down in the basement and would be able to make Darlene a star. Yes, a star. At least that's what he had told her, and she had believed. But now his chances didn't seem so good since he was not making Darley look so good. He turned some knobs and pushed some levers, and he tried. By some miracle, or perhaps desperation, the music came back on, magically rewound to where it needed to be, and Darlene began to sing. Welcome to the College of Applied Multipurposes, united in simplicity. And her elven sister sang, Campus, the enchanted campus. And Darley did a little twirl. At least she thought it was a twirl. That's all that mattered. And she sang, designed for today's entitled generation. And all the elves sang, Campus, the enchanted campus. Darley came out of her third twirl a bit off, but still managed to make a wobbly bow, which made her shrunken elven mother, who was sitting in the front row, very proud. Because even though her bow was much better back 25 years ago when she was a lead elf, her Darley's was adequate and cute. But back to the bow. Darley was prouder of it than her mother was, probably prouder than she should have been. But she had choreographed it herself. Her coach, that cranky old drama teacher, Mr. Teasdale, had tried to talk her out of it. But what did he know? He had only been an actor on Broadway in 3 shows and won a Tony, but that was just a stupid old award that only old people care about. He never had been a voice actor for an anime or done voiceovers for games or even been in a movie or a TV show. Her bow was great and only slightly got her off the beat as she sang, created to meet every perceived need. Campus, campus, the enchanted campus, campus. Oh, darn! One of the backup elves was off. Darley glared at them. See, she used the gender-neutral pronoun as to not be discriminatory, and felt quite proud of herself. But no elf was going to screw up her dance. Then Darley folded her hands and looked like an angel. She knew she looked like an angel, just knew. She sang with a pure voice, just the right amount of vibrato. She didn't care that Dr. Brenda O'Casey, her voice teacher, that witch, yes, she is an honest-to-God witch, said. She was only a professional mezzo-soprano, so what did she know? Besides, Brenda gave up her career in Atlanta. Atlanta! So she could be near her dying mother in this crap hole of a little town. But Jimmy, her Jimmy, the tech guy, was going to introduce her to Judge Pike, and he would make her, Jimmy said, an international star, no matter what Dr. Brenda O'Casey said. He said she would even be a star in Argentina, like Evita. Evita was a great singer in Argentina. She sang just like Patti LuPone. Patti LuPone was old, 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 but she was tough and didn't take any crap off of anybody. Darlie wanted to be like Patti LuPone and sing in musicals on Broadway like Evita. It would be wonderful to star in Argentina. She sang, "Where you'll never feel pushed too far." Darlie thought it was amazing how her muscle memory just took over. It just took over her. And she floated around the stage in front of all those mesmerized people. The backup elves sang, "Campus, the enchanted campus." And they all sang together, the words that only took them a couple of weeks to memorize. They were all so busy, you know, with their minimum wage jobs at Cracker Barrel, Student Government Association, SMLAS, the Student Moose Lodge Association, and other club activities, etc. The backup elves all tiptoed with their feather boas stretched out like wings and semi-circled around Darlie. And they all sang together, "Where we always raise the bar just enough for you to get by the enchanted campus, where your academic dreams come true." Now her job was done. The backup girl stepped back and back, and darling Dr. Greason came forward to the mic and sang with his great booming country-influenced voice, so natural, no training. Everyone could tell, absolutely no training. He sang, "You don't want to work. You really want at least to see. You don't want to come to class. You want to quickly make it through. Let's see what we can do. No one will ask of you more than your schedule will allow." And from the back, Darlie and the girls sang, "We're the place for you. If you've got nothing better to do." And they all sang together, "The enchanted campus, it's the place for you. Where your academic dreams come true." Now there's a musical interlude and dance. During the musical interlude and dance, Darlie approached one pretty little ballet step at a time, approached Dr. Dagg and took his hand. He gave her a little twirl, and she felt the heat rushing to her face and various other parts. She always felt special when he took her hand, so he twirled her a few other times, really more than he was supposed to. So the girls got a little confused and got out of step, but it really wasn't too bad. And that got back on track, and Dr. Dagg sang, Welcome to the College of Applied Multipurposes, united in simplicity. And the girls sang, Campus, the enchanted campus. Now for the big finish. The enchanted campus. The girls came to form a huge semicircle around Dr. Dagg and Darley. He was still holding her hand. Where your academic dreams come true. And the girls shuffled into the background as Dr. Dagg approached the microphone once more. He smoothed back his sleek black hair and spoke again into the microphone. Welcome, students, to Club Rush Day at the beautiful, and the elf said, College of Applied Multipurposes, united in simplicity. Then they ran on tippy-toes off the stage. That's right. An education where you're the boss. Nothing will be too hard for you. We like to find just a little place to fit into your busy schedule. We like to look at you as our... Dr. Dagg couldn't remember what to say. What were they called? He knew this. He knew he should have invested in that prompter. What was he going... Then he saw her below him, looking up at him. Mrs. Sapowski, in that royal blue and silver, the college's colors, form-fitting dress she always wore on this momentous day. She was whispering something with her pouty red lips. What was she whispering? Customers. He leaned down a bit. What was that? Customers. Customers. He looked down at her. Thank you, Mrs. Sapowski. The dress was really very nice. My, you look charming as usual, Mrs. Sapowski. You really do, yes, definitely. Mrs. Sapowski gestured towards the microphone. Dr. Greason! Yes, Mrs. Sapowski? The students! Dr. Dagg looked up to see probably 2,000 people and other assorted life forms looking expectantly. He looked away from Mrs. Sapowski reluctantly. The students, yes, well, we're here at our beautiful community college at the beginning of another awesome semester of learning eminently pragmatic cognitive material, completely devoid of any truly meaningful insight. In short, you learn what you need to learn to become good, productive citizens. The best kind of citizens, the kind that follow blindly without asking any questions or doubting their superiors. Yes, just enough to be helpful in the workplace, but not enough to... What is that? Mrs. Sapowski had suddenly appeared by his side. She tended to do that. It must be her gift or her mutation. She poked him in the side, then grinned with her brilliantly white teeth at the crowd and poked Dr. Dagg in the ribs with her lovely but pointed elbow. Not now, she said, still smiling, but somehow able to speak. Harder. Ouch! Golly, Mrs. Sapowski, that hurt. Just get on with it. She didn't have to be that way, Dr. Dagg thought, but nevertheless brought himself to the sticking point and said, and always on the cutting edge, we're introducing our new distance learning platform, enabling us to better serve you and ourselves, me anyway, by allowing a multitude of students to jam into a, another poke in the ribs. I mean, enroll in courses while overloading the particularly mouthy instructors. Allowing you to enroll in courses taught by our best and brightest faculty members from the comfort of your own home. Good. No poke. Our faculty will be available 24/7 to answer any questions you have. They'll even help you with your taxes because they are our slaves. No, can't say that. We'll get poked. Servants. And furthermore, as everyone knows, faculty members have no lives. He looked at Mrs. Sabowski, who didn't look too happy. He needed to say more. Thank you, Mrs. Sabowski. Not me, them! Oh, thank you, beloved students, faculty, and staff. Thank you. Darley, who was staring daggers at Mrs. Sabowski, leapt forward and shouted, yeah, I love distance learning. It's so awesome. It's easy. I love it. But enough about business, said Dr. Dagg with a smirk. There'll be enough of that sort of thing tomorrow. Now it's time to have some engaging fun. The crowd went wild. The fighting fundies cheered. The goat ropers whooped. And the zombies and vampires did that strange sort of thing that's in between a boo and a whistle. I don't know. I don't think they know. I can't do it. I try, but anyway. Mrs. Sabowski, what's that you say? She whispered something in his ear. And, oh yeah, we need your bodies to keep this place going, so register and be advised. He held up victory signs with both hands, not knowing that he looked like a young and better-looking Richard Nixon, but he didn't know who Richard Nixon was, of course. He expected people to laugh. They didn't. They were too busy having fun. I'll see you next week for another episode of Campus, the novel that wants to be a musical. Many thanks to John and Hannah Winkler, Curtis McCarley, Anchor, Making Podcasting Easy, and freesound.org for the great harp music. Didn't you just love it?